Say it along with me. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he saved his people from their sins. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You see, that's the whole purpose. You take that out of the Christmas story, there is no Christmas story. Okay? I mean, we can look at the nativity scene and we can imagine it, and we can kind of, in our own human understanding, kind of plug into that and think, man, what was it really like? But the purpose of this birth, of the birth of Jesus Christ, and everything that happened, and all the miraculous things, because you study through that passage, and you will see so many miraculous things that happened and happened around it, that you should just absolutely be amazed at who God is and what he does just simply looking at the Christmas story itself. We never want to forget the purpose of why Jesus Christ, the purpose of Christmas, is because Jesus Christ came to save sinners. 1 John 2:1-2 says this, "My dear children, I write this to you, that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." Okay? Jesus Christ came with that purpose. 2 Corinthians 5:19-21, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. In other words, there was this huge divide between us and God, and Jesus Christ came to bridge that divide, to give us the opportunity to put our faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done to bring us back into reconciliation with God. Because like I said, when Adam and Eve separated us with sin in the Garden of Eden, that brought it upon all of us. Not any of us have escaped that happening. So that created that huge gap, and there had to be a bridge to bring man and God back together. And that's Jesus Christ. He is our reconciliation, as those verses say. Secondly, we have to believe that Jesus didn't stay dead. You know, I see sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with them, but I see the necklaces with Jesus hanging on the cross. Well, that's half right, okay, but it doesn't have the full picture. Now, here's what I've never seen. Maybe you have, but I've never seen this. A necklace with a picture of an empty tomb. Because that's really, without that, the crucifixion, the cross doesn't mean anything if Jesus stayed in the grave, but he did not. He did not stay in the grave. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Pastor Colin Smith shared this. "The Illinois State Treasurer, Dan Rutherford, has initiated a program called Cash Dash. And here's how an ad in the Chicago Tribune described the new program. The state of Illinois has collected more than $1 billion worth of lost or abandoned wealth that belongs to millions of Illinois residents." How many of you want to be an Illinois resident with that lost $1 billion? You want to suddenly become a resident of the state of Illinois and claim some of that. But he went on to say, "It includes everything from forgotten bank accounts to entire estates that have never been reached their rightful owners. The Cash Dash program aims to give it all back to its rightful owners. The National Association of Unclaimed Property Administration claims, keep in mind that Illinois unclaimed funds, money, cash, and property are gold mines just waiting to be discovered by the rightful owners." Dan Rutherford added, "This program is exciting to me because I want to see those valuable assets returned. I also hope everyone doesn't miss out on the money or valuable assets the state is holding for them." So you got the picture of what's going on here? I mean, the state of Illinois is holding billions of dollars of unclaimed money, property, estates, all these things being held. But the commentary on this article is this: Christ doesn't have millions of dollars for you to claim, but he does have something with indescribable value with your name on it, and that's the forgiveness of sins. Through his atoning death and resurrection, these gifts are in the hands of the risen Lord, and he offers them to you today. Now, I want you to think about that, okay? Let's rephrase this. If I ask you the question, if you could have one thing in life and I could provide you for it, I'm the magic genie Tom and I can give it to you. What in life would you want me to give you? Would you want me to give you some of those billions of dollars of Illinois and make you magically a resident of the biggest estate that's been unclaimed in the state of Illinois? Would that do it? What about if I gave you an all expense paid 2-week vacation to anywhere you wanted to go during Christmas, and I would say Merry Christmas? Would that be what you would want? How many hunters do we have in the room? Any hunters? What if I gave you, I don't know anything about hunting, so you're going to have to help me out. What is the biggest buck you've ever seen? Not necessarily shot, but what's the biggest one you've ever seen? Really big. How big? How many points?
35.
35? Holy cow, that must be big. How much did this monstrosity of a deer weigh? 270 pounds. All right, hunters, if you went out tomorrow and you had one of those walk up to your back door and said, shoot me, how many of you would do it? Yeah, and how many of you would that make happy? Yeah, it would. All right, what about, got any golfers? Any golfers? I know we got one. Only golfer? We got a couple other golfers. All right, golfers, this spring I am going to promise you that the first 18 holes you play, you will get a hole in one on every hole. Does that excite you? Come on, golfers, get with it. Would that excite you? Absolutely. All right. You might want to line some of your buddies up when I give you that and maybe play like $5 a hole or something if you know that's coming. But yeah, that would make you happy, right? I mean, that would really get things going. But here's the thing. You could fill in the blank with anything. Maybe for some it'd just be, man, I just wish I had a happy marriage. Man, I wish I just had a happy family. Man, I wish my parents would let up on me. Man, I wish my kids would follow the Lord instead of their own ways. You see, in all those things, some of those things are humorous, and now we're getting some things that are pretty downright where the rubber meets the road in life. But the bottom line, there's one thing scripturally that is above all those things. And that is Jesus Christ and the purpose for why he came. And let's give you a test this morning. Let's get engaged. Why did Jesus Christ come? To save sinners. All right, let's try that again. Why did Jesus Christ come?
To save
sinners. All right, I got half of you. All right, why did Jesus Christ come?
To save sinners.
All right, That's got to be on the top of the list. And what I do in life has got to evolve around that. Now, there's nothing wrong with anything I've said other than you golf players don't take your buddies out and take your money from them. That wouldn't be good, okay? But everything that evolves around life, you remove Jesus Christ from life, and what is life? Exactly what is it? What's going to be up at that point? If you take Jesus Christ out of the equation, then it's up to you and I to define what life is. Okay? Now, we've got people who are trying to do that. And hopefully there's not a lot here in this room that are trying to do that. But you, how many of you think you live in a chaotic world? Anybody thinks you don't? And I can tell you why you should believe you live in a chaotic world. Yeah, we live in a chaotic world. But here's the reason. The reason is because there's a whole bunch of folks trying to do it their way. And that just creates absolute confusion and chaos when a bunch of human beings try to determine what life is going to be. When they do not have the foundation of Jesus Christ, their life is not revolving around Him, then what are you left with? You are left with chaos. You are left with chaos. So inside of all that, and as we go through our Christmas season, let's help us to remember, and God help us to remember what the purpose of Jesus Christ's birth is and was. Okay, now I want to dive deep into forgiveness. What is God's forgiveness? How does God forgive? Psalm 103, verses 1 to 4. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 4. Now listen to this. I want you to get this, how God forgives, out of Scripture. Okay? He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay. Now what do our sins deserve? What's the repayment for our sins? Death. Death. But He didn't do that. He said He didn't repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. In other words, that word fear Him is respect or know Him. Okay? And He says, His great love for us. As far as the east is from the west, all right? East to west, go clear around the world and let it meet, in other words. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed. He's removed it. Our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Obviously, He created us. He knows those things. All right. Phil, you have a terminal illness, but I can remove it. Would you like me to do that? Yeah. Absolutely. Okay? I want you to realize that's what Jesus Christ did. That's what all this is about. We all were plagued with a terminal illness called sin. Jesus Christ was born, lived, went to a cross, resurrected out of the grave to take care of our terminal illness. He took care of it. He took care of it. Why? Because of His great love for us. Think about the person that you would identify who you would say, they loved me the most in life. For me, it was my grandmother on my dad's side. I mean, I've kind of shared bits and pieces with you guys before. I mean, my preteen, teenage years were rough. But my grandmother was someone I could always go to and talk to. And she would never, ever do anything but encourage me. And try to help me and listen and be compassionate and be loving and be tender-hearted. She always did that. It was consistent. That's why I was always at her house. Now, as much as she loved me, here's the deal. And you think about your person. Okay, I want you to think about your person right now. as much as they loved you, it doesn't have any comparison, no comparison as to how much God loves you. God loves you. God loves you like umpteen million times more than that person who loves you most in this life. I mean, it's because of his love. And because of that, when we seek Jesus as Savior, he says, I take your transgressions, I take your sins, and I cast them as far as east is from west. Now, this world's a pretty large place, but I want you to think about what he said. He said, I take your sins, and I cast them as far. You can go east, you can go west, you can go the circumference of the earth, and it's going to meet right back up. That's how much I've forgiven you. So God's forgiveness isn't based on what we deserve. Scripture tells us clearly what we deserve. Okay, we deserve death. But God said no. He said, I'm going to give you the opportunity to live. And that's why Jesus Christ came to this earth. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. God's forgiveness is complete and life-changing. The blood of Christ truly does wash away sin and makes us white as snow when we believe in him as Savior. The other thing that happens is this. Romans 6:18 says, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. We've been set free. We don't have to. I mean, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, that verse right there is something to be excited about. Now, let me say the crux of that verse again. He has set you free from sin. Sin had you tangled in something that deserved death, but he set you free. I got one. I got two. Does that excite you? Amen? If Jesus Christ, if you've believed in him, he has set you free. That bondage, that entanglement, that death is gone. It's over, said, and done. You will never be in that position ever again. Amen? Because God took care of it with the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, here's God's attitude toward forgiveness. I want to get his attitude. I want to capture that. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 to 10. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Now, let's stop here for a minute to get the context. I want you to visualize what's going on here. Okay? Jesus was hanging out with the people that the religious people of the day, the Pharisees, would have never spent any time with. Matter of fact, they loathed these people. The tax collectors, the sinners, they were too good for them. They were too self-righteous for them. They would have never been seen with these people that Jesus was with. Then verse 3, then Jesus tells them a parable, and he actually tells them three through this passage, but I'm only going to use two. He told them a parable starting in verse 4. He said, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Then verse 8, he starts into the second parable. He says, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, think about this. Have you ever seen like the depiction of angels rejoicing? It's like you got this loud booming, just joyful noise being made. Now I want you to think about this. If you believe in Jesus Christ the Savior, at the point that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it says the angels rejoice. Okay? I should have, if I'd have thought about it, it's too late now, but I'd have had some angelic music queued up. And when I said that, we'd have just blared it all over. Because that's what happened when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, why is Jesus telling this parable to these people? Because he said, to the self-righteous, it doesn't matter. The Pharisees wanted him, and they were still looking at Jesus as the earthly king. They wanted him to deliver them from Roman oppression. They didn't want what he was there for. He knew he was going to go to the cross and die for sinners. They didn't want that. They didn't want him hanging out with the sinners and the tax collectors. They wanted him to be their king. But Jesus said, look, here's two stories. The lost sheep, if you had 99 and one wandered away, you would go find it. And then if you had a valuable coins, you would do as the woman in parable did. You would turn the lights on, you would sweep, you would search diligently until you found it. Now, do you realize that is God's relationship to you? That is God's relationship to you. He wants a relationship with you. And he'll do anything to have it. He will pursue you to the utter ends of the earth to have a relationship with you. Some of you know what I'm talking about. How God has pursued you. And pursued you and pursued you. And at different times had to re-pursue you. Not so you could be saved again, but to just get you back into fellowship with him. Amen? Yeah. He's done it with me. He said, oh, well, how could you do that? You're a pastor. Yeah, he's done that with me. Okay? But God loves us. And he pursues us. And he's like really, he's vehement about wanting a relationship with us. And that's how he forgives. When he forgives, it's totally. The angels rejoice the whole nine yards. Now, we're going to close this up, and we're going to make it practical for where you and I are at. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, the impact of forgiveness. How does the impact of God's forgiveness and Jesus Christ's death and burial and resurrection, how does it affect me? How does it affect me? Or how should it affect me? Ephesians 4, 31 to 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. What does that mean? It means holding grudges ain't worth it, folks. Means having contempt in your heart towards another human being is not worth it. Just not worth it. Matt Woodley shared this. My friend Steve warned me that he didn't believe in forgiveness. He said, I just don't believe it. God could never forgive me. Okay, maybe he could forgive me like 70% of my sins, but not all of them. You don't know me. You don't know what I've done. When I try to explain that, when we trust Jesus, he forgives 100% of our sin. And Steve interrupted and said, yeah, fine, but you don't know the stuff I've done. Then he told the following story. He said, 19 years ago, this guy stole my wife. They got married. They moved to Florida. My whole life unraveled. It just fell apart. After I was arrested for assaulting a police officer, this guy smirked through the entire court hearing. When I was convicted, he flipped me the finger. I've hated him for 19 years. He's coming up here next week. I have a 32 caliber pistol strapped around my ankle, and when I see him, I will kill him. Then he chillingly concluded, I've thought all about it. I'm 63 years old now. I will get a life sentence, but I also get free medical and dental, a warm bed, and three meals a day. All this bitterness and resentment feels so right, and forgiveness seems so weird. Steve was right about one point. Forgiveness often feels like an unnatural act. So what should followers of Jesus tell Steve? Why should they tell him to forgive? After Steve told me this story, I paused for a long time before I finally stammered, well, I guess it doesn't matter if you go to jail. It just doesn't matter because you're already in jail. The guy who stole your wife and smirked at your hearing isn't in jail. You are. You're there already. That guy is free, but you're a prisoner of your own hate. And you're slowly killing yourself. Unless you forgive, you'll remain trapped for the rest of your life. A week later, he called me and said, you know, I get your point. I put the gun away. I don't want to spend the rest of my life in jail or enslaved to my own hate. Will you pray for me that Jesus will release me? Forgiveness, like every other aspect of following Jesus, involves a long journey. I would guess in this room there's some really bad stuff happened to some of you at the cost of someone else. But Jesus, forgiveness, like every other aspect, it involves a long journey. As we consistently receive Jesus' forgiveness for our sins, it will soften our hearts towards those who have wounded us. Then as we continue to trust and grow in Christ, slowly, by God's grace, we'll find more freedom to forgive than we ever imagined. Forgiveness of sin is God's way to save us and set us free. Why would we want to waste our time and our energy refusing to forgive others? As we go through the Christmas season, we may realize there may be a couple things we may come to the realization of. First, God is. His forgiveness is real. It's complete because of his love and mercy and grace he has toward you. Maybe you've never taken the step to believe in Jesus Christ the Savior and have your sins forgiven. Listen, the angels are waiting to rejoice. Okay? They're waiting to rejoice. That's what God wants to do. Okay? But here's the deal. He is going to continue to pursue you until you realize how much you need him and how much you need a Savior. So it's not a bad thing. It's a very good thing that God is who he is concerning forgiveness of sin. The second thing is he also, you say, well, Pastor Tom, 50% of your message today has been to a person who needs Jesus. I know him. We still need his forgiveness. We still need his forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. There it is again. But then he takes a step further. He says to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, that's the repentance part of the equation. That's where we turn from it. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and we turn from our sin. So those are a couple things we might realize through this Christmas season. The last thing is this. He has a desire for us not to live in bondage to unforgiveness. To unforgiveness. Listen, been there and done this, and some of you probably have too. It's like you truly are in a prison. I know that. okay? And I'm not here to belittle some of the things that have probably happened to some of you. Because I'm sure in even a room filled to our size this morning, there's some really bad stuff we could share. But I'm just telling you, I do know this as well. It's not worth it. You will become a prisoner inside your own self. The freedom, remember the freedom that I talked about in Romans chapter 6, how he frees us from all sin, doesn't want us to live in bondage. Listen, if I refuse to forgive someone, I've put myself right there. I've put myself right back in bondage to the sin that he set me free from. Okay? Now, let me say this real quick. Reconciliation and forgiveness are two separate things. I'm not telling you to forgive someone and then go have an open, embraced relationship with them. There's some of these people that have done some of these things to you, that'd be a real bad idea to try to do that. Okay? But you do have to let it go. You've got to trust God with it. You've got to quit talking about it. You've got to quit running it through your mind what they've done to you. You've got to shut all that off. And the only way you can do that is through Him. It's through Him. Now I want you to bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes. And I just... the Holy Spirit's really led me to do this morning as I was getting ready for this message. Is my prayer first and foremost is that you know Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes we make the gospel such a formality, it's like we just check it off a list. Well, yeah, okay, I believe. But I wouldn't want anybody who's ever listened to me do a message and preach God's word anywhere to misunderstand the gospel. Jesus came and was born so that he could go to a cross and he could resurrect out of grave for you, for you. And if you've taken that step of faith, the angels have rejoiced over you. They have. And you need to go right on. But if you haven't, it's good news. It is good news. That's why the gospel is referred to in God's word as good news. The good news for you today is today can be the day of salvation. You can believe in Christ right now. But it's between you and God. It's not between me and you and God. It's between you and God. Now, the second thing is, with God's forgiveness is what we covered last. And here's what I really want. I want to give you the opportunity. If you are holding unforgiveness in your heart or holding a grudge or you're having a hard time forgiving someone for what they've done to you, I'm going to ask you to stand up in a minute and I want to pray over you. Because like I said, I've done this a time or two in my life and I know it just imprisons us. We go back to the bondage that we were set free from. But listen, I want you to take the first step to acknowledge that I really need to forgive. And I need to let go. So if you're here this morning and you're struggling to forgive someone, someone's done something heinous to you, or something that's just really been bad and you're just struggling with it so bad, I want you to stand up because I want to pray over you. I want you to stand up, and I want to pray over you this morning. If you're struggling to forgive, you got animosity in your heart, you've got unforgiveness, I'm going to ask you to stand and take the first step towards being free. All right. Even if you're not standing, it's okay. You just chime right in. We're going to pray over you. But for those of you who are standing, I'm going to pray over you now. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that ultimately you went to the cross to set us free. Lord, we also realize most of us that have lived very long in this life and walked with you very long, we also know that hard things happen. Sometimes we experience things that sometimes people just should not experience. But Lord, you know all about all those things. And just as Jesus went to the cross to forgive every sin, every wrong thing that's ever done by anyone in this life, just as he went to the cross and did that, we need to do it too. Ephesians 4:31-32 makes it ultimately clear what your standard is. To forgive as Christ Jesus forgave. So Lord, I pray for these individuals that they will be able to let go. That they'll be able to trust you and just seek you to help them forgive an individual or multiple individuals that have hurt them. And Lord, we know that your power is sufficient. And Lord, we know that you can free us from everything, including this. So Lord, help us to stand on your promises. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, now listen. Whether you were standing or not, if I was praying over you, here's the practical end of this, okay? You've got to continually seek God. It isn't going to be a quick fix thing, okay? You've got to continually seek God daily. God, help me forgive them. You also need to be able to pray for them, particularly if they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you, there is none of us. And trust me, you may think, well, you don't know some of the people I know or the things they've done to me. You don't want anyone to experience God's wrath. You don't want that. You do not want that. So you need to be able to pray for that person. If they need Jesus, you need to be able to pray for them that they would come to Christ. You need to, if it's something you talk about a lot, you need to stop talking. Now, if you need some counseling or something, we offer that here. We'll talk to you all you want to and help you through it. But you got to quit talking, because when you talk, it just stirs your mind up and you just get so focused you can't stop. And then that's the last step in this deal. You got to stop thinking. You got to release it. You got to release those thoughts to God. And for some of you, that's going to be a big challenge. I mean, I've had some things done to me that have been big challenges in life. So I'm only telling you, not only from what Scripture says, but my own experience as to how this works. Because I know. All right, let's stand and let Tori lead us in song this morning.